all here with us this morning, will you all please stand as we open up with worship with a great old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Jesus sought me when a stranger because I was wandering far from the fold of God. And then he brought me in and he sealed me and I'm his forever now. I'm so thankful for that. We all bow your heads as we open up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day, this wonderful congregation, God. I praise you that we can come together here and worship your holy name this morning, Lord. And God, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, upon our worship, upon everything that we say and do, God, that we bring glory and honor to you. Because that's what we want to do this morning as your congregation, Lord. Be with our pastor, be with the holy word that he has for us, God. And everything that happens today, God, I ask that it brings glory and honor to you. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just read your bulletin, please. But youth group tonight from 5 to 7. This Wednesday night, all church services here at the church will be canceled this Wednesday night. So there will be no church services or prayer meeting or kids group this Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving. And the first Sunday kids is coming up. If you need more information about that, Angelica, raise your hand. So everybody might not know. She's right here. But if you need more information about that, please see her. It's going to start out the first Sunday in December. Also, Christmas party, don't miss that. And also remember the community breakfast is coming this Saturday. So if you can help serve with that, please sign the list out above the water cooler. It's always nice to know that we have enough help, okay? So thank you, brother.
All right, thank you. Now, as we think about God, how do we describe him? And I love this one song we're going to sing this morning, Indescribable. How would we describe God?
From the highest of heights to the depths of the
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's not all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Do for you what he's done for me.
would care that much about me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Changed by Jesus this morning. Amen. I'd say most everybody in this room has had their life changed by Jesus. Because we've had our life changed by Jesus, we can sing this song. Amen. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing. Thank you.
Father, we are so thankful that we can come to this place and lift your name in praise and worship and thanksgiving, Lord, that you are such a good, good God. And we have so much to be thankful for. So, Lord, we surrender this here worship to you, this praise to you, Lord, and pray, Lord, that you find it from our hearts that it's filled with love and gratitude towards you. So, Lord, at this time, we just ask that you've been blessed by this worship. Lord, we ask that you go before us, Lord, as we come to hear your word and to the giving of your gifts, and you will bless both of those, Lord. Lord, for us to be able to draw closer to you, and that you will bless these instruments of worship, Lord, that they will work for you. So, Lord, we just pray that if we have the opportunity to give, we will, and if we have a need, that we would just take it out. So, Lord, we just love you, we praise you, we thank you for all that you are doing, all that you're going to do. But, Lord, here's what we know. We love you, and you are good. Lord, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Morning. I'm glad to see you all here this morning. Y'all ready for turkey? Who here likes turkey? Who here doesn't? There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. I'm just telling you out front, right? I love turkey. I can't wait. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And the reason why is because it's usually about family, friends, and food, right? So, I mean, football, yeah. You know what? Who? You're lying.
The Lions play on Thanksgiving.
What's a lion? I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. Yeah, you got one other fan right there. All right, well, you know, I've entitled today's sermon, Fruit of Our Lips. Fruit of Our Lips, Thanksgiving and Praise. You know, there are many sounds that fill our lives. Voices calling for our attention, worries whispering in our minds at night, the noise of responsibilities and routines consuming our conscious. But Scripture teaches us that there is one sound that not only rises above all others, but also brings our hearts home to God. And you're sitting there thinking, well, what would that sound possibly be? It's simple. It's the sound of praise. It's the sound of worship, and it is the sound of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4 invites us to this. It says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, here's what I want you to notice out of that verse. I want you to notice what it doesn't say in that verse. I know, right? You say, Pastor, you're supposed to tell us what it does say. No, I'm going to tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, come when you have it all together. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, come when you have it all together. It doesn't say, come when the worries are gone. It simply says, come and bring thanksgiving with you. When you come, bring this with you. Bring thanksgiving with you. In other words, God's presence is not a place for perfect people. Amen, right? God's presence is not a place for perfect people. It's a place for grateful people. Amen? So this morning, I want to walk with you gently through what praise, worship, and thanksgiving do in the life of a believer. Not as a performance practice act or performed act. It's not a ritual. You know, sometimes church becomes a ritual. It's not a ritual, but as the language of the heart is leaning to stay close to God. That's what worship is. A heart leaning to stay close to God. Now understand, praise is a lifting up. You see, sometimes in worship, people will lift their hands. You know, I often lift my hand. It's a lifting up. Praise is a lifting up, which leads me to point number one. Praise helps us lift our eyes. Understand this. Praise is the practice of lifting our eyes from what troubles us to the one who carries us. Big difference there, right? From what troubles, it lifts our eyes from what troubles us to the one who carries us. David said in Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Circle that. Underline that. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, you and I know that all times includes days filled with disappointments. Anybody have a day filled with disappointments? Right? It includes those days with disappointments in the moments that, in those moments of life that we can't explain, and seasons when prayers go to be, it seems like our prayers are unanswered. Listen, the truth is, praise does not deny the reality of our struggles. Let me say that again. Praise does not deny the reality of our struggles. Listen, there are seasons of life that are downright hard, amen? I've had them, and I know that you have had them too. There are seasons of our life that are downright hard. Some of you go through things, or going through things, or had gone through things. Listen, eventually you will go through something, right? But there are those seasons in our life that are downright hard. So praise doesn't deny the reality of our struggles. That's not what praise does. It doesn't deny the reality of our struggles. It simply reminds us of the greater reality of God's character. Now, the truth is, some of you this morning are walking with questions. Some of you are walking with questions. Some of you are carrying concerns, maybe about your family, maybe about your health, maybe about your finances, maybe it's about your job, maybe it's about your future. Sometimes we carry a lot of concerns and about that, right? And another truth is, praise doesn't remove those pressures instantly. Just because I'm praising and giving God praise doesn't remove the pressures of life immediately or instantly, but it does something really important. Praise lifts our gaze. It changes our focus, right? It lifts our gaze. For example, do you remember when Peter walked on the water? I'm sure you hope you all do, because I preached through that not too long ago. When Peter walked on water and he started the sinking the moment that he looked at the waves, why did he do that? He stopped looking at Jesus, right? He stopped looking at Jesus, and his life began to change for the worse. That's what happens. Understand, praise helps us to look back at Jesus. That's what praise does. It gives us the opportunity to look back at Jesus, to get our focus off of this and up to this, up to Jesus. Why? It's to remind us of our future hope. Who all in here knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Then you have a future hope. And not only do you have a future hope, more importantly, you have a present hope. Don't ever forget that, right? I was talking to a guy just yesterday, and I said, look, I said, when, as a believer, I don't stand, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to go stand in the salvation line. I'm either saved now before I leave here, or I am not. So I don't go to heaven and stand in line. Am I saved? Am I saved? Listen, when I get to heaven, I am saved. I'm going to go stand in the reward line, right, for the service I have done unto the Lord, right? So look, it's to lift us up into the present, right? It reminds us of our future hope, and it is to lift us up right now in our present time. Praise says this. Praise says, Lord, I may be overwhelmed, but you are still faithful. Amen. I may be overwhelmed here today, but I know, Lord, that you are still faithful. I'm looking. I know that you, I'm seeing my gaze is upward, right? Look, he's still faithful. Praise says, look, I really feel weak, but you, Lord, are strong. Praise says, I may not understand, but you, Lord, I trust. Isn't that hard when you don't understand? And I have to trust the Lord. I just was speaking to somebody just the other day again, and I said, look, you just got to leave that go. The Lord will deal with that. How can you let that be? How can that person do that? You got to trust. You have to trust. It's who your trust is, right? Listen, praise turns our hearts back toward hope. I had you all raise your hand. If you know the Lord, then you have hope. The praise turns our heart back towards hope. Praise lifts our focus to a higher hope. Amen. It's not just my earthly hope, but it raises my focus to a higher hope, which leads me to point number two. Worship draws us close to God. Worship draws us close to God. If praise lifts our eyes, then worship brings our hearts near. Let me say that again. If praise lifts our eyes, then worship brings our heart near. But understand this, worship is not just singing of a song. You can sit here and we can put the words up, Mike, the band can play, and you can do all that, and you can let the words come out of your mouth, but you'll never be in worship. So worship is not just the singing of a song, it is the surrender of the soul. It's surrendering what I'm saying and what I'm saying. I'm surrendering that unto the Lord as he is so worthy to be praised. He is so worthy to be worshiped. So I surrender that out of me. I get my eyes off of me and what I like and what I want. If this sounds good, if this sounds right, is this the right music for me? Listen, you've not worshiped. You've not worshiped. Because what you're concerned about is I'm not getting it the way I like it. It's not about you getting it the way you like it. It's about God getting it the way he wants it. And that is a heart that is a heart that is surrendered out to him. In John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, y'all remember that sermon too, right? Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, he said this, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That means this. That means worship is deeply heartfelt. Worship is deeply heartfelt. That means it's spiritual. Worship is deeply heartfelt and deeply honest. What's honest? It means it's truthful. So it's in spirit and in truth, heartfelt and honest. Now, there are times when we come before the Lord and we don't have eloquent words. Amen. I'm not a man of eloquent words. I can't even hardly say the word eloquent. Sometimes we come before the Lord and we don't have eloquent words. Sometimes we barely have any words at all. Amen. I mean, let's be truthful. Because sometimes all we have is a simple cry. Sometimes all we have is a simple praise. Sometimes all we have is a simple request. Sometimes all we have is a simple statement. Would go something like this. Lord, I need you. You ever just, Lord, I need you right now. I need you to show up, Lord. Lord, I need you. Or about this. Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Lord, I love you. Or sometimes something like this. Lord, here I am. You know me. Lord, here I am. Church, let me tell you something. That is worship in its simplest form. In its simplest form. That is worship. Understand, you don't have to sound like anyone else. I don't have to sound like John or Mike or Steve or Roy or Rich. I don't have to sound like one of them. You know who I need to sound like? Me. just who I am, right? So I don't need to sound like anyone else. You don't have to know all the right phrases. You know, when I first started coming here and they made me, right out of the chute, they made me educational director. They obviously did not look up my high school transcripts. I wrote my prayers. Do you want to know why I wrote them? Because I didn't want to sound stupid. Until one day when I stood here, well, it was over there in the foyer, was the church at the time, but I stood at the pulpit and I looked down at the paper I had prepared and it was blank. Oh, it was written all over. But what I seen was this. Lord taught me a lesson that day. It's not just what it sounds like coming out of here. It's what it means when it comes out of here. And listen, the Lord understands us. He understands you. He understands me. So I don't have to have all the right phrases. And most of all, you don't have to pretend everything is okay. Amen? You don't have to pretend everything is okay. Sometimes you're just a mess. Amen? Listen, I know I've been here behind this pulpit and before, and I've been a mess. And I've been with some of you, and you've been with a mess. Don't pretend everything is okay, because when it's not okay, it's not okay. Right? And the reason is because worship welcomes us, right? It's okay not to be okay, because worship welcomes us to come just as we are. You know, churches will put a sign out on the front all the time, come as you are, but we really don't mean it. We want you to come looking the way we want you to look. Worship welcomes us to come just as we are, truthfully. That means bringing the truest part of ourselves, watch, that means bringing the truest part of ourselves before the truest God that there is. Right? I mean, think about that. Understand, worship is where we find rest. That's where our soul finds rest. That's where our conscience and our mind finds rest. Worship is where our burdens are lifted. And worship is where God reminds us, you are mine. And I am yours. That's what real worship does. Do you understand? It is often in worship, quiet, sincere worship, that God speaks the clearest to our hearts. Let me say this again. It is often in worship. I know it is for me, so I'm only assuming it is for you. There are times in the midst of worship, quiet, sincere worship, that God speaks the clearest to our hearts. Listen, it's usually, God does not usually speak through thunder. Can he? Absolutely. But most of the time when God speaks to us, it's in the quietness of our hearts. It's usually not with thunder, but with the gentle voice of a father who loves his children. A father who really loves his children isn't always yelling and screaming all the time. Right, a father who loves his children and wants to reassure us, right? A father wants to reassure his children that he is with us and he is for us. When you know that, oh, what a change in the heart. What a change in the soul. And that's where we receive a heart of thanksgiving. When we get that, when we know that, when we sense that, and we understand it, and we have that trust and that faith and that hope, and that God is for us and he is he's with us, then that's when we receive a heart of thanksgiving. That's where thanksgiving comes in, which leads me to point number three. Thanksgiving teaches us to remember. Thanksgiving is the memory of the soul. Thanksgiving is the memory of the soul. It's the memory of our spirit. Psalm 103, verse 2 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, watch, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I figured that the reason the psalmist said that is because obviously we do forget. We do forget some of the benefits. Listen, I'm not saying that we do this intentionally. I'm not even saying that we do this out of rebellion. But because life is busy. Nobody here busy? Because life is busy and full of all kinds of distractions, right? Life can do that, right? Like I said earlier, we have voices calling for our attention, worries whispering in the night, racing through our minds, the noise of responsibilities and routines on our conscience. But do you know what Thanksgiving does? Thanksgiving pushes the pause button on everything. It pauses everything long enough to say, Lord, before I ask for anything today, before I do that, Lord, before I ask for anything today, I want to remember what you've already done. That's Thanksgiving. You see, Thanksgiving steadies us. Thanksgiving also softens us. Thanksgiving humbles us. Especially when we take that moment and we look back over our lives. And some of us have had some hard lives. Some of us have had some hard things happen to us in our lives. You know, I was talking to my brother last week, and he got a bad diagnosis. He's already got a bad diagnosis, but he got a worse diagnosis. And he looked at me, he says, that's okay because God's got a plan. He's in control. I'm not going to point out which one it was, but it's one of the ones sitting in a wheelchair in the back right now. Thanksgiving steadies us. Thanksgiving humbles us because one of the things he said, there's a lot worse people than me. You see, Thanksgiving, that's what it does. It's in our soul, right? Especially when we take that moment and we look back over our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I can see a trail of God's goodness to me all over my life. You too, right? I can look back and see God's goodness all over my life and my past. Even in times that I thought were awful. I thought, oh, if this is what God wants for me, I don't know if I can handle this. But now as I look back, I think I see God's hand was all over that. I couldn't see it when I was going through that awful time, but I can see it now. I've seen God open doors that I didn't expect. Like that open door. I've seen God open doors I didn't expect and give me grace that I didn't deserve and provide protection that I didn't always see. Barb and I talk about that often, or we have lately anyways, about if we could only see the things that God protects us from every single day, in and day out. He provides protection I didn't always see and strength I didn't know was possible. There were times I didn't know how I got through what I got through, but come to know that I didn't get through it all by myself. It wasn't me. It was God, Christ in me. And the truth is, when we remember how faithful God has been, it becomes easier. It becomes easier to trust him with the things that are still uncertain, right? How many things in your life are uncertain right now, right? Many of you, if I asked you to raise your hand, you would, right? It's because there are still things that are uncertain, whether it's in your health, your job, maybe something going on in the family. There's uncertain things. And listen, God's been faithful in the past. He's going to be faithful in those uncertain times in the future. And where there is trust, listen, where there is trust, there is hope. Where there is trust, there is hope. And what you put your trust in, there is where the treasure of your heart will be also. What you trust in is what you will chase after. It's either going to be the world or it's going to be the Lord. And when we have a grateful heart, it always leaves room for hope to grow. It always leaves room for hope to grow in strength. And when that hope is in the Lord, when your hope is in the Lord, then anything is possible. Anything is possible. Why? It's because our hope doesn't stem from the world. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us and in our soul. For he, the Holy Spirit, is our friend. He is our comforter. He is our guide. Hebrews 13:15 says this, therefore by him, Therefore, by him, capital H. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right. Well, Mike, come on. Let's go ahead and do our song. And the altar is open. If you need prayer, you come on up here. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Whatever you need, you come. But I can tell you this, that no matter where you're at, what you're going through, there is victory in Jesus. Amen. And by the way, yes, I just heard Mike say that.
Victory in Jesus, Leslie.
82 shoeboxes, by the way. 82 shoeboxes. Altar is open. You come. If you need. Quick prayer request. Your mom and dad are coming home tomorrow, flying home from Washington State tomorrow. So pray for Pam and Kevin as they're flying home tomorrow, that all will go well with that. And then also, what was the other prayer request? Oh, the other prayer request is this. And y'all noticed on the news the big buildup in the Caribbean with the Gerald Ford. Well, one of our people is on that ship. So, and that is Derek McMaster. So pray for them. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. But here's what I know. The Lord knows. And Derek is owned by Jesus. So listen, just pray for them. Listen, other than that, Charlie, don't forget Charlie. Yeah, but also, as you depart this place, leave with a heart of thanksgiving. Praise him on your lips. That will draw people to him. That will draw people to him, because if you're thankful, they're going to say, I want that. I want that, Jesus. So go be thankful. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. Thank you for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.